God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. In the Amplified Bible it says, God, who in many separate ways and in many separate revelations spoke a portion of the truth in the past to different people, to Harry. Bit of truth to Ed, a little bit of truth to Tiny, a little bit of truth to all of us. Now in these, in past time unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who bring the being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. Now, the phrase in verse 2, the last days, universally in all Jewish writings means the age of Messiah. That's what it means, everywhere and always. Never means anything else. It's the time in which Messiah is on the earth is the last days. Always. Everybody got that? When he appeared, he would the idea of Messiah, again, this is universal. When he appeared, he would reveal to men all complete and all final truth. He would reveal to men all that men would ever need to know, and that he would provide to man all that he would ever need. That's the meaning of Messiah. It's the meaning of his name. That's the meaning of Christ. HaMashiach. You understand? In the last days, he would provide all that you need to know. He would provide all that you need to be. He would provide every single need that you have at every moment in time. That's the definition of Messiah. If he doesn't do that, he is not Messiah to you. And if he doesn't do that, then for you, Messiah must come later by some other means, by some other way. Got that a little bit? Now, that Messiahship is symbolized by him, by his own words in the manna. He said that in him, if you eat his flesh and drink his blood, that you would never hunger, you'd never thirst again. And also he said that you would need nothing else to give you sustenance. You'd have no other need for any offerings. You'd have no other need for any redemption. That if you, for you, Messiah has come, then all, it's over. It's over. Now, do you understand? For me, I believe Messiah has come. I believe that my life has testified of that for as long as you've known me. I don't believe you've ever seen me worried about what's going to happen in my retirement or what my career plans are. I believe that everything is finished, and I'll risk everything every day of my life. I'll bet on it. There's nothing I'm afraid of on the face of the earth. There's no person I'm afraid of. There's no situation I'm afraid of. Because for me, Messiah has come. For no other reason, not because I've been courage, not because I'm some superhuman, not because I know the Bible, none of that. It doesn't mean jack. All that stuff is just boring flesh, smelly flesh. But for me, Messiah has come, and that's it, period. Done. Over. He has come, he is come. You see the relationship, the finality of it? Now, the Samaritan woman, when she met Jesus at the well, understood that fully. Stupid Samaritan woman. Samaritans represented the worst that man could be. So in John 4, if you want to go there. Somebody wants to go there and check it out, see if I made it up.
Was Samaritan, was that the country that Christ couldn't walk through?
It's a country that no Jew could touch, that no Jew could lay a foot in. It's between Galilee and Judea.
So was there like a good amount of shame attached to being a Samaritan?
It's total shame.
You were like the village idiot just by being from
and they had they went so far as to even, they followed the Jewish law, but they went ahead and rebuilt another temple of their own.
Sounds familiar.
Jackie Temple.
I got one.
Little Jackie Sacrifice. Little Passover Jackie Sacrifice. Little Jackie's Waters of Purification.
Right. You can tell that's
all Jackie yard. Redemption.
Oh my God. Oh yeah. Go ahead, baby.
Jackie Offerings. Jackie Altar of Incense.
Jackie
Collection.
Jackie Pope.
Jackie Pope. Pope Jackie.
Oh, God, that's kind of
a... Popus.
I'm going to say.
Anybody understand? Anybody not on? Understand? Tylene Temple. She said, I know that Messiah cometh, who is called Christ. When he has come, he will tell us all things. That's what John 4:25 says. He will tell us all things. The implication is he will tell us all things that are necessary for total and complete contentment and satisfaction and peace and joy. Okay, has Messiah come for you? Is Messiah here? If he's not, then you got a problem. That's why the other issues have nothing to do with anything. The only issue is Messiah come? That's all. And if he hasn't come, you got a big, big problem. If he has come, you got no problems. There's no in between. But don't trivialize your problem if he isn't here. If he isn't here, right now, nobody cares about whether Harry's done too many dishes or not. If he isn't here, nobody cares about whether or not something is going on or some trip or somebody's this or somebody's that way or somebody who, none of that matters. If he isn't come, if Messiah isn't come for you, deal with what that means, not with the issue. That's what discipleship is about. That's what exhortation is about. Oh, but you don't understand. You don't understand how bad it is to be married to Mike. It's impossible for Messiah to be here if you're married to Mike. You don't understand. You don't understand what I'm going through. I don't care what you're going through. Have you gotten that straight? I care that you find out whether Messiah is coming or not.
And that's my schedule.
Off and on. Either he is come, or everything is as it was in the days of Noah for you. They're marrying, and they're giving and marrying, and they're arguing, and they're worried about futures, and they're worried about money, and they're worried about kids raising, and they're worried about college, and they're worried about this, and they're worried about the bread, and blah, blah, blah. And it's as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the days of the Son of Man. Do you realize how many people in the days of Noah thought that they had done too many dishes? Do you realize that? Let's go there. Luke 17. Luke 17, verse 20. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come. Now, is there anything in there that makes you nervous?
Yeah, I mean, other than Pharisee.
Pharisee saying, when is it going to improve?
And the demanding. Question.
And demanding.
And the supposition. Since the kingdom of God is not here, when will it be?
And when he was demanded of the Pharisees, when the kingdom of God should... There's a whole lot of stuff in there that should bother a lot of you, a whole bunch.
I choose to ignore it.
I'll worry about that tomorrow.
when he was demanded of the Pharisees, when the kingdom, do you realize it's almost 7:30?
Yeah.
Really? You realize we can't finish this thing?
We peed away this whole Bible study with people's little personal problems.
He answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. And he said unto the disciples, the days will come when you shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you shall not see it. No observation. And they shall say to you, see here, or go there. The anointing is over here. Go over here for the anointing. Go over here for the thing. Go over there to get it. They shall say to you, see here or see there, go not after them nor follow them. For as the lightning that lighteneth out of one part of heaven shineth unto the other part under heaven, so also shall the Son of Man be in his day. In other words, he is everywhere. You got it? But first must he suffer many things, and be rejected of this generation. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. The days of the Son of Man and the last days are the same. You understand? The days of Messiah and the last days are the same. And that's what's described here. To the senses, that's what we're about to hear. To the spirit, the kingdom of God is within you. Messiah is come. He is complete. The resurrection is now. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, and they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. That day he which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. Remember Lot's wife. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it, etc., etc. So either Messiah is come, and everything that I need and am is complete now in him, in me, or it's the same boring thing. As it was in the days of Lot, as it was in the days of Noah. Now, Jesus offered a sacrifice that was both infinite and eternal. You understand that? It wasn't a moral option in some faraway country. It was a sacrifice that was infinite in that it covered all areas or possible positions in space. And it was eternal because it overshadowed all of time. Now, you cannot improve on infinity. You cannot add to eternity. Either the sacrifice is complete tonight, or you're dead meat. You can't add to it. He offered himself as a sacrifice once for all. The work was done. It never had to be repeated. And what did he do? What does it say in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3? Somebody read it quick. We don't have much time.
Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high.
He sat down. sat down because we finished. He sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on High. The right hand was the place of power, the place of authority in the ancient world. He is now to appear in the presence of God for us. Look at that quickly in Hebrews 9:24.
9:24.
He is now to appear in the presence of God for us, or in behalf of us. Yeah. Read the verse.
For Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us.
Okay. And if the accuser who's standing on the left hand of God, understand that? God the Father, Jesus on the right hand, the accuser on the left hand. As soon as the accuser makes an accusation, and he is everywhere and always making the same accusation in all of his children, something's not right here. You need to take care of something. You understand there's only one lie, that the sacrifice wasn't enough.
Has anybody been watching the Joseph Campbell, the power of the myth, the myth of the power on the... It talks about this myth about the different phases that you go through, and that at one point you have to slay a dragon, and on that dragon on each scale is a thou shalt, you know, all these different things, you know, that you have to do, and it's like you have to slay this.
The myth of the dragon came from the Star Map, and it's the myth of slaying the serpent. Yeah, there's a thousand scales on all of the reptiles, and each one has the should and ought to. If the accuser says anything on the left hand, Jesus is on the right hand saying, yes, but I shed my blood for that. You hear that?
Done. What else? Done.
Been there, done that. Played that frequency.
Been there, done it, beat it.
But for most, it is always a spiritual famine. All of you read Amos 8 tonight. We're not going to have time to go to it, but I'll read it to you. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in all the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but a famine of hearing the words of the Lord. And that's what... The way we know that we're in the midst of Messiah is because there's a famine in all of the land. It's supposed to be. Everybody thinks when Jesus comes, it's going to be a visible kingdom on earth. They've missed the point. They've cut themselves off from the roots of Christianity and Judaism, so they don't know that the evidence of Messiah's kingdom being here is it doesn't look like it is. Now the temple... At the time of Christ, took 46 years to build. By today's standards, it would cost billions upon billions of dollars to duplicate. But there was not a chair or a bench in the temple, because the priest's work was never done. They could never rest from their work. Their task was never complete. Nor is yours in this earthly temple, as long as the wrong one is sitting on the throne. You will always think there's some other redemptive act necessary, there's some other offering necessary, there's some other sacrifice necessary. Because for you, Messiah has not come to his temple. He did come, and he will come, but you're caught in the grand middle. And this is something only you can face. Can't be done with by dealt with by talking about it. Every man must bear his own burden alone. When you get alone with yourself and the vanity and futility of your own soul, you get alone and away from the sounds, and you must face this burden alone. Is Messiah come? Now, Hebrews 10 says, by one offering he has perfected forever them that are sanctified. That means I'm perfect. by the act of me saying, Father, I'm yours. But if I don't believe that, then the work is never done in the temple. That's a continuum of necessary activity and craziness. The question is Messiah come?
And it's like you know that all that doing all that activity, you know none of it's right. You know you can't, you know you don't have all the pieces, you know you don't have all the right things, but like you're still, you know, you're like going through whatever motions you happen to know or use whatever kind of pieces you've got hanging around. You know, it's the whole
whatever time, liturgies you've learned.
Yeah, you know the whole time it's all wrong. And it's just, it doesn't matter. You know, and whatever bits and pieces you keep adding to it, you know, even that is just making it more, making it worse, you know? It's just an awful mess.
Okay.
To, you know, to think that if the Messiah hasn't come, then, you know.
You've got a world, you've got a lifetime, but that's not, again, face what it really means. It doesn't mean, well, I have to deal with this little issue. If it isn't, if it isn't true, if Messiah isn't here, if he isn't resurrected in you tonight, then my friend, you better read the law. All this other stuff, it's nothing. We'll continue this Tuesday night, because this is important. Okay? Take a big guy.